Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, before we start the episode today, I wanted to shout out some new patrons on my Patreon page, which I just launched last week. Tracy, Sari, and Brian have opted in to sponsor some of the episodes each month. And those are just some of the tiers that we have that will help cover some of the production costs of this show. I have a Patreon page now for ad-free episodes, early release, bonus episodes with former guests where I can talk to them about their experience, sharing their story with everyone and kind of the feedback that they got and anything else that they want to share. And I'm super excited to start recording those next week for one of the Patreon tiers. And then, as I mentioned, Tracy, Sari, and Brian opted into some of the sponsorship options. So they get this shout out early on in these episodes before I start recording. Tracy's a best friend of mine for about 100 years now, and I've known Brian for a long time. He's actually helped me buy and sell a couple houses here and there, so if you need a realtor in the Orlando area, let me know. And Sari is one of probably the best cheerleaders that I know for people that are leaning hard into their passions, and I'm super honored to know her. Thank you to my new patrons. I also have some other people on some of the other plans, and thank you to you guys. If you're interested in what I'm offering on the Patreon page, just head over to the link in the show notes, jump on in, and you'll get access to some of these things. We'll see you there.
While we were talking, he was like, okay, so you want to do sound? And I said, yeah, I really think that would be cool. He goes, what's your experience with sound? Like, have you been behind a board before? And I said, no, I've been the one in front of the mic. You know, I've been in the sound studio, not, you know, behind the glass. And he was like, okay, like that's, you know, not that it's impossible, but he was like, you know, there are a lot of students in here that have had a lot more experience. But he was like, but your website, you know what you're doing here. And I was like, okay, what do you mean? And I've been a techie for a long time. I'm a bona fide geek, like I'll admit it. And I actually did an internship with the information technology department at the school that I graduated from the semester before. So I kind of understood a lot of the different stuff with websites without even knowing how to code yet. And I'm not sure I really realized how much I had learned. So he said, you know, you should go into web development. Forget sound. Go into our emerging media program instead.
On this week's episode with my friend Marissa Eikenberry, we talk a lot about how others can see things in us that we probably never even considered. And so what was so interesting about this conversation is that there was one person in Marissa's life early on that kind of shifted her entire direction for her career goals. And it led her to do the things that she really loves to do, but also introduced her to the world of podcasting, which then introduced her to the idea of co-hosting a podcast for her company. And so it was really cool to have this conversation with Marissa about her journey to podcasting and comparing it to how I got here. And I think that what we should all take away from this conversation is that we should say yes a lot more to those people that bring up ideas to us, that they have confidence in us, and it's something that we wouldn't have considered before, because imagine what can come from that. So I hope that at the end of this episode, you have that feeling of, I should say yes more. Without further ado, here is my episode with my friend Marissa. I'm Matt Gilhooly, and this is The Life Shift. candid conversations about the pivotal moments that have changed lives forever. Hello, my friends. Welcome to the Life Shift podcast. I am here with my friend Marissa. Hi, Marissa.
Hi.
I'm excited to have Marissa here today, and I promised her that I'm not going to refer to her as Marsha or Martha or Mariah. Mariah is a new one for you, right?
Indeed. Yeah, that is not one I've heard. Usually it's something that rhymes with my name.
Perfect. Well, I'm going to work on that. Marissa's here. We connected on LinkedIn months ago.
Yeah, March or April.
Wow, really? Probably April then, yeah. Because I launched this podcast in March. So I'm just about 6 months in by the time we're recording this. And Marissa and I connected through kind of podcasting. I was searching for that community in which I could learn from people that are already in the space because I was so new to it, still am. And Marissa has been a fantastic resource just to bounce ideas off of or get feedback or just learn from based on what she's doing. And she's going to tell us a little bit about her journey to podcasting and kind of how she got there, which I just gave it away, but we'll get into more details. But I'm super honored that you're on here because I really enjoy our connection that we have on LinkedIn and what I've learned from you and the support that I get and able to hear what you do on your podcasts. I said plural, so there's a lot that we're going to talk about.
Yes.
So before we jump into that, thank you for being here, by the way. I appreciate that.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
But before we get into kind of like that shift into what I just already gave away, maybe you can kind of set the scene of like how you were living and what you were doing to get to that point of that shift that's put you in this new direction, new industry.
Yeah, I fell into podcasting by accident, but
I love it.
Everything kind of led up to me doing it. So originally, I went to Ball State University for a telecommunications degree. I'm pretty sure they call it a media degree now. They just changed it recently. But essentially, I was going, I wanted to be a sound engineer, which is funny now.
Really?
Because I do podcasting and stuff. Yeah. So
like what area did you want to do?
I wanted to do music. So fun fact that you do not know about me, I used to be an independent country music artist.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. So I was out of music by the time I was graduating high school. And it was like, you know what? I still want to work with music. I'd love to work with sound. Like that would be super cool. And so it's like, I'm going to go to Ball State University because I live in Indiana, the best TCOM school in the nation and definitely the best one in our state. So I went there, and the way that the TCOM program works at Ball State, I presume it still works this way, you have a production degree, and you go into intro audio classes and intro video classes, and then you kind of decide what you're going to specialize in. So for me, you know, I started off thinking that I was going to go into audio. In my very first TCOM 101 class, I had Dr. Joe, who I'm still connected with and still talk with. And he had all of us make a website, just something really basic that we could showcase and show for like internships and eventually jobs and all that kind of thing. So, you know, first semester freshman, okay, let's do this.
How long ago was that? Just so I can get an idea of what that website might have looked like.
So I used Wix, that helps. Or yeah, I think it was Wix. It may have been Weebly. It's been a while. So I wasn't even coding yet. And this would have been probably September, October of 2010.
Okay.
And so, you know, so I made this website and he had all of us in that class schedule a one-on-one meeting with him just to say, you know, okay, well, what do you want to do in the TCOM program? How can I help you? Like that kind of stuff. And while we were talking, he was like, okay, so you want to do sound? And I said, yeah, I really think that would be cool. He goes, what's your experience with sound? Like, have you been behind a board before? And I said, no, I've been the one in front of the mic. You know, I've been in the sound studio, not, you know, behind the glass. And he was like, okay, like that's, you know, not that it's impossible, but he was like, you know, there are a lot of students in here that have had a lot more experience. But he was like, but your website, you know what you're doing here. And I was like, okay, what do you mean? And, you know, and I've been a techie for a long time. I'm a bona fide geek, like I'll admit it. And I actually did an internship with the information technology department at the school that I graduated from the semester before. I worked with Drupal at that time. So I kind of understood a lot of the different stuff with websites without even knowing how to code yet. And I'm not sure I really realized how much I had learned. So he said, you know, you should go into web development. Forget sound, go into our emerging media program instead. And because I was like, you know, people already know how to code websites and stuff. He goes, we will teach you. You already know the basics. We will teach you.
That's so interesting.
So I actually graduated with a web development degree. Well, still TCOM, but inside of the emerging media platform. And thought that that's what I was going to do. You know, okay, great. I had some intro video experience. I had some intro audio experience, but I figured I'm never going to work with that again. And lo and behold, I use everything in my degree now.
That's amazing. Before you go there, it's so interesting to me that your instructor, okay, so you make this website, right? I'm sure it was amazing, right? But
it was okay.
It's interesting to me that he was like, to your point of not being able to code yet or not having like those skills, and he's like, we'll teach you. Yet when you said you wanted to do sound and you didn't have those skills, he was like, nope, leave it.
I think what it may have been was that I had some instinctual stuff with the web development that I would not have had inside of an audio degree. And I think that's what made it a little different. Because you're right. Like, it does seem really weird. Like, you know, you're far behind here, but we'll teach you this. But I really think that that's part of what it was. And admittedly, as a woman, you know, in tech, like, you know, there was this whole idea of, I can't learn how to code. I'm a girl. Mm. Like, you know, I mean, it's stupid. Like, now I look back on it, and I'm like, why did I ever think that?
Because you were conditioned.
But there was a little bit of that. Yeah. But, you know, when you're 18, like, that's terrifying. And I felt like the curve to learn was actually so much steeper to do web development than it was to do audio. And it turns out for me, like, it wouldn't have been. And, you know, learned HTML and CSS and PHP and did all that kind of stuff. And so it wasn't as hard of a leap as I thought it was going to be.
I think the connotation with coding in general can seem scary to a lot of people. Some of it, it's very difficult, right? I'm sure there's a lot of intricacies that you need to know when you're coding, but just the idea of it without any conception is like, what? That's so scary. I don't think I could ever do that. Did you focus more on the development side or the design side, or was it a, kind of a mixture of both?
Yeah, so I focus more on the development side. That's where my classes tended to be anyway. So it worked out really well. I can do some design stuff. And depending on the websites that we were working on, like, yeah, you're technically doing both at the same time. But really, it was about the code for me more than it was anything else.
So it's like a usability focus a little bit more than aesthetics?
Yeah, a little bit. It was more like, let's find out how, you know, CSS, you know, which helps to style a website. It was like, let's see more how this works in general, rather than necessarily being like, let's create the best looking website ever. Like, it was really more about functionality.
Very interesting. And did you enjoyed it? Did you, as you got further into it, were you just like, this is the right path? Did it feel right?
Yeah, actually, the very first class that I ever sat in, like, I was like, this is it. Like, why did I ever think that I couldn't do this? You know, speaking of CSS earlier, so for your listeners that don't know, a styling sheet inside of a website, it's usually one sheet, and you basically make all the style decisions. So what font's going to be on a website? What's the background look like? What color are all the headlines? You're going to make that instead of one file. Well, our teacher that year, or that semester rather, he was talking to us about, okay, you're going to make a one-page website. I am an overachiever by nature. I'm a self-proclaimed geek. Like, I went all in, man. And so I was like, one-page website? I'll show you. I'm going to do the whole thing. And I made a CSS page for every single page of my website because I didn't know. We had not been taught that lesson yet, that it is cascading across all of the websites, right? Or all of the web pages. And so, yeah, I was a little extra already. And I think, too, part of it was a lot of the other people in my classes, they weren't there to be web developers. They were there to learn how to make a portfolio website for their film career or their audio career or something like that. You know, these were film and audio students, whereas I was like, no, like this is what I want to do. And I think for some of my classes, classmates, it became very apparent that like there was that distinction. And admittedly, it was really fun as a sorority woman to like walk in with my letters and a bow in my hair and have some of these guys in the classroom be like, oh, great. Like we have a girl in our coding class. And next thing you know, like teacher's asking questions and I'm the only one that can answer them. So admittedly, that was a little fun too.
Yeah. And you know, what's interesting to me too, is, you know, when I was 18, I had zero idea of what I wanted to do when I walked into college. I had zero idea when I left college, to be frank. So it's really interesting to me that you went in, you know, having a passion for something or thinking you had a passion for that direction that you wanted, but then also having the wherewithal to understand what your instructor, do you say Dr. Joe?
Yeah, his last name is Polish, so we just called him Dr. Joe.
But having the wherewithal to take what he said and then accept it and kind of move forward with it, which kind of, you know, has dictated the rest of your career thus far, right?
Yeah, I think for me, I never thought about the idea of anything tech-related as a career. I've always been very tech-oriented. I've always been good with computers. I was that weird kid in my second grade class that had an email address at 7. Like this was not normal, you know, especially in the late 90s, early 2000s, right? And so I've always been a little tech-oriented. And I think him seeing that, recognizing that, and seeing a talent that I didn't realize I had was really motivational for me. And I worked with him a lot through different projects and stuff at my time at Ball State. And he still teaches at Ball State. He left for a little while I was still there. I think he saw something that I didn't even see in myself. And that's what made it motivating for me.
And so here's the point in my podcast where I tell you that's probably one of your life shifts, is yeah, that this person that stepped in and was like, hey, look at this road. Here's your opportunity to like change your life. And so you went through school and you graduated with web development focus.
Yes. So I did that. And immediately after school, I started working for the Kevin Eikenberry Group, which I still work for now. And I was hired to be a web developer, specifically in WordPress.
Look at
and
that.
I knew how to do it.
People getting hired for the things that they went to school for.
Right. And right out of school. Like,
yeah, you're checking all the boxes.
Overachiever, I told you. So that's what I went in for. And pretty early on, because I work for a small business, and so we all have to wear a lot of hats. No big deal. Totally fine. So pretty soon it was like, okay, like since you're in the office, can you help record some of our YouTube videos and stuff? Okay, no problem. Turn on the camera, go. You know, laughed a little bit because it was like, oh, you know, I was in an intro video class and now I'm using Video Now. Like, and thought that would really be the end of it. And so I graduated in 2014, started my job the Monday after I graduated.
Wow.
Yeah, I wasted no time.
Overachiever.
That was probably not the best plan, but it's what I did. And in 2016, well, actually, let me back up.
Yeah.
I had never heard of a podcast when I first graduated college. I didn't have a smartphone, so it wasn't like a thing that, you know, I had easy access to. And my now husband, but boyfriend at the time, he lived 3 hours from me. And so obviously I went to go visit him, you know, as much as I could and vice versa. But I had this moment of, man, I can't just listen to music for 3 hours every time, right? There has to be something else. And sometime between the time I graduated and the time that I started, you know, driving up there, I had heard about podcasts. And it was like, okay, like, you know, and early on, you know, you hear people talk about podcasts and it seems almost pretentious in a way. You know, oh, I listen to a podcast, but you don't kind of thing. And I hated that.
I felt the same way.
Yeah. Okay. So it's not just me. So I was like, well, you know, I had a smartphone then. So it's like, let me open it up. Let me check out this app. Let me see what's available. And this podcast doesn't exist anymore, but I started off with a podcast called Getting There. The whole idea was they were in their early 20s and they were like, you know, we haven't figured things out yet, but we're getting there. And I loved it. And I was listening to that, you know, on my way up to go see him. And, you know, so I already started getting this idea of, hey, podcasts are really cool, and found some others that I listened to. Some of them I still listen to today, and just really enjoying the medium as a listener and telling everybody I could about them. And
did you start to feel less pretentious about it?
Oh, yeah. Well, because once I realized that, you know, okay, there's a lot more than just true crime and Serial out there.
Serial was definitely the first one that I binged, I think, like the first type of podcast that I heard and stuck with, which as we're recording this,
there's a lot of news about that.
Yeah, they just released another episode talking about the person that they were covering getting out or having their conviction taken away, vacated. So
yes,
podcasts can change the world.
And yes, there's definitely a lot about that. And I think I'd heard of Serial, but I didn't actually listen to it until much later. In 2016, my boss, Kevin Eikenberry, had decided, you know, if we're going to do this leadership thing, which he's been doing leadership development, leadership training for, we're coming up on 29 years now. The big thing was about thought leadership. He's written books, he's written blog posts, but podcasts were really starting to kind of come up a little bit for some of these smaller companies or smaller names, as it were. And so he's like, what do we need to do to start one? And I think I was one of the only people on the team that even listened to podcasts and knew what they were. So I was already part of that discussion about, okay, like, what do we need to think about? The more that we did it, it was like, well, you're the only one that has audio editing experience. So I had to remember what I had learned in 2011.
In your one class?
Exactly. And I was using Pro Tools then, and I'm using Adobe Audition now. So there was already a difference, right? And, you know, so I was like, okay, like, quick and dirty, how can I figure out how to do this so that way we can produce a podcast? And started it then. We launched it in July of 2016, I believe 2 weeks before I married my husband.
Overachiever.
Right. And moved to a new city and then started working remotely full time all within the span of like 3 weeks.
Perfect.
So that already started it. And at the time we were releasing that podcast once a week. And all I was doing, I say all I was doing as if it was nothing, but I was editing it. I was putting it on Libsyn. I made the website. I post the show notes to the website as well. And that's still something I do now. The addition that we have is we've added a video component, which was not something we originally had. We also do a lot of remarketing clips, that kind of thing, or trying to anyway. And then in 2019, my other coworker, Guy Harris, who is a communications expert, said, you know, okay, I'm going to try to start a podcast and, you know, about communication and leadership, and let's see how this goes. And the difference between Kevin's podcast and Guy's podcast is Kevin's is a guest-centered podcast, just like this one. And Guy's is really more him speaking about a particular leadership communication topic. So he records his on Audacity and then sends it to me, and I edit it and all that kind of stuff there too. So we started that in March of 2019. So I was already now doing two at the same time.
I can't imagine.
And still a web developer, by the way. And I still do tech support.
Right. Yeah. You're doing your regular job.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I admit that I've been very lucky in this industry in that I'm paid to do the podcasting part.
Yeah, like, it's amazing.
I realize that that's very abnormal, especially in the indie podcasting field. And then one of the other things that we do too is we teach people how to work and lead remotely. We've been doing that for over 10 years. Kevin's had a team like that for over 20 years. And back in, I want to say December of 2021, I was talking to Wayne Termel and said, okay, you used to have a podcast. You're about to come out with another remote leadership book. When are we starting a pod? Not necessarily we, but when are you starting a podcast? Like,
right, because you're an overachiever and you wanted more to do at work.
Bingo. And, you know, as if I didn't have enough to do, right? And at first he didn't believe. He was like, you know, you're not serious. And I'm like, I'm literally volunteering for more work.
Like, yeah, sign me up.
I'm serious about this. And because I believed in it. I believed in the way that Wayne could give out information, and I believe in our mission and what we're trying to do. And I know how powerful podcasts can be, even just with the two that we were already doing.
And
right?
The topic was super relevant.
Yeah, it was super relevant. And they've been, their first book came out in 2019 before, you know, the big remote work boom happened. And as you know, as we both know, like remote work didn't start in 2020, but I know that Wayne had all of this knowledge that he could bring to the table. And it was just a matter of figuring out how to do that in a podcast form. And then somewhere around January or so, you know, we had already worked out, okay, what would the name be? What would the music be? That kind of thing. And as he was talking, he goes, okay, if I'm going to do this, I'm not going to be like Guy, and I'm not going to just rant about remote work for 10 minutes because no one wants to hear that. And I was like, well, you might be surprised, but okay. And he said, I need a co-host. Okay, fair. And for some reason, I naturally assumed he was going to pick somebody else on the team. And he had said, okay, well, do you want to do it? And I was like, I'm not a remote work expert. Like, I've worked remotely, but I'm not an expert. And, you know, I just edit everything, right? And he was like, you know, but I think you being a younger voice and somebody who, you know, you aren't a trainer, but you have experience and, you know, us being, as I just said, like he and I are different generations, that it could bring a different voice into the conversation. And Wayne and I get along really well. So we knew the rapport was already there. And it was like, you know what? Let's do it. Like, why not? And so terrified to say yes, but it was like, but what could this lead to? I don't know. And so like you, we started our podcast in March. And I think we're up to like 30 episodes now. I don't know. We're getting close. And it's been so much fun.
It's a totally different experience, right? Because, you know, for this one, I do this conversation, but then I get to do all the other pieces that you do as well. So it's fun to be on this side as well.
Absolutely. And I think that's been part of the shift for me. And I've spoken about this on Pilar Ortiz podcast, Adventures in Podcasting, but I've been in the podcasting world for 6 years. And
that's a long time.
Up until recently, I didn't feel like I belonged there. I felt like everybody was in the expo hall and I'm outside with a ticket. And, you know, even though I'm still involved and I'm still doing stuff and I'm still playing a really important piece in all of those podcasts, it didn't feel like I had really earned my spot in the expo hall because I wasn't behind a microphone, which is sad. It shouldn't be like that. And for anybody who's listening right now who, you know, you're not behind a microphone, but you do something important in podcasting, like you matter and it's a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, let's stop there. The editing is key.
Absolutely.
Right. You know, it's a big reason why people enjoy listening to some episodes of some podcasts. If some people heard the raw footage of some of these podcasts, they might not listen. So, I mean, editing is a big deal. And then I'll tell you, the hardest part is not the behind the mic of podcasting.
Right.
And I don't even know if the hardest part is the editing. It's like the whole marketing piece, the taking the clips and promoting. And I feel like that's the hardest part for me. Editing is fun because I get to hear the conversations again, and I like doing that, and I like taking out people's filler words, as you know very well. And
yes, I'm sure you'll take out some of mine as well.
Nobody will even know that you said them.
Perfect.
But I think it's important to note that I almost feel like your shift of feeling like an expert in the space happened since I've known you.
You're absolutely right.
Because we were having these conversations, and maybe the fact that I kept coming to you with questions and you were so generous and so nice and so kind to actually respond to someone that was also feeling like I was faking it or doing something that, am I allowed in this space? You know, kind of feeling, right? So I look to you as a podcasting expert, especially the fact that you have, is that three we've counted?
Yes, there are three.
And there are like probably, I mean, you mentioned in your little guest form to me that those add up to how many like listens or downloads or something?
I believe we just crossed over 400,000 downloads.
That's a lot. That's a lot of lives changed by remote work conversation, communication conversation, leadership. I mean,
yeah,
those are what people are searching for. And that's what I love about the podcasting space. And what I think of when we talk about this, and I know we went way off topic here, but when you were talking about that first podcast that you listened to and the effect that it had on you and the fact that you found the right one that was speaking to you where you needed, you know, like it was 20 somethings that were just trying to figure it out and getting where they wanted to go. That's what's so great about podcasting. There's like literally a podcast for everyone. Like something yes. that will stick with them or hit them in the right way.
You're absolutely right. And it's definitely something I love about the medium. It's, you know, if you want to learn about anything, look it up. There's probably a podcast about it. And I know that I've done that in times of, you know, okay, in this period of my life for a little bit, I'm really interested in marketing. I'll find, you know, a few different marketing podcasts to listen to. And I may go through and be like, okay, you know, I don't need six. I could really deal with like two. And I might weed those down a little bit. But just, I mean, anything that you're interested in, even just for a little bit, I had a true crime binge that I did for a bit. It's just, it's so amazing to me how many different shows that there are out there for people as long as they know where to look.
And I think to bring it back to where we were is that like the editors matter and the people behind the scenes, behind, not even on the mic, that you don't even know their name, that are mentioned after the episode ends, way at the end, you know, the producers and those kind of things. Those people are really crafting these stories as well. It's not just those of us talking into this microphone.
Absolutely. Yeah. Cause I mean, in a way that, I mean, not just the editors, but even, you know, people who are doing the content repurposing, if maybe that's a different person, you know, we're carrying that voice to the people. Like we're making sure that that podcast host is heard. And that's something that I'm not really sure I had taken ownership of until I got behind a mic. And I'm almost kind of sad for past me for not taking ownership of that. I know that I've spoken a bit before, and I've mentioned this on LinkedIn for people who follow me there, that for a long time, if I talked about podcasting, oh, I'm just an editor. I just do this. I would diminutize myself and not realize that, like, that's a really important piece. And like you said, I haven't really felt like I've taken ownership until this last 6 months. And it's been a really wild ride.
Yeah, you're guesting on other podcasts now. You're co-hosting one. You're on every couple weeks, right? On that one?
Yeah, so I'm on every other week. So yeah, like twice a month or so. And basically we shift off and have a guest episode on. It'll just be Wayne and that guest. And then the next episode will be me asking Wayne a question about remote work.
And for those of you listening to this podcast, if you listen to that, what's the name of it again?
Long Distance Work Life.
Long Distance Work Life. The episodes with Marissa are super fun because they just have this lovely banter, because you can tell that they're coworkers that actually enjoy each other. And they have like this nice conversation. But also Marissa's bringing in these questions that she's researched that people are talking about in the industry related to remote work and long distance teams and whatnot. So definitely check that out. I love the episodes that you're on. Not that I don't like the other episodes, but the of ones course. That you're on, there's a levity to it that I really enjoy. So I'm happy that you're behind the mic and maybe you'll do your own someday.
There are times I'm thinking about it. I don't know what I would do. And there's a little bit of me that goes, oh my God, I don't have time
That's true.
For one more thing, right? I do consider it sometimes. I know Pilar had said something to me when I was on her podcast about, you know, there's a podcasting bug. And once it's bitten you, like, who knows? And at that point, she was the only podcast I'd ever guested on. And I think I had only been a co-host for maybe a month and a half.
Yeah, you're doing the thing. So your official title, or you were officially hired as a web developer, right? What percentage
Yes.
of your job is like web development versus podcasting stuff?
I want to say probably right now it might be 25% web development, 75% podcasting, media production, that kind of thing. Websites is still a huge portion of what I do. I'm the one that works on all of our websites. There are a couple now that we've been able to train one of our other team members to, you know, help fill in some gaps or do some other stuff and connect to our customer relationship management software. So that's helped a lot too. We actually had a conversation about that today. She's like, you know, hey, I'm learning about this stuff. I'm getting a little dangerous. And I was like, no, please, because I have no time.
Would you love to be just 100% podcasting, or do you want to keep your toe dipped in that web development?
I do really like still doing the web development stuff, especially because web development is still a big part of podcasting. You know, having a website for your podcast is a big deal. And so I don't think I could ever just completely get rid of it. And something we didn't talk about was that, you know, I do website development. I do podcasting. I do video, as I mentioned earlier, but I'm also tech support for our team. I'm tech support for our Disc Personality testing website. There's so many things that I do that it can't even be summed up in one title, if we're being honest about it.
Yeah. I mean, I selfishly, I'd love to work in the podcasting space 100% of the time. So that's kind of like where I was going with that. It sounds like when we talk, that's what you're doing, and you're repurposing and you're editing and you're running out of time to do the things that you really want to do. Marissa and I talk on LinkedIn here and there, and we're like, our list is just getting really long of the things we quote unquote should be doing or want to do with our podcast to grow it or to just kind of be present, right? And learn new things. What's the newest thing you've learned how to do related to podcasting?
I've been really trying to focus on Twitter lately. So I know that, you know, I did that Twitter Spaces a few weeks ago now. And one of the things that I think it was Pixie was talking about was that Twitter is huge for podcasting. And I'm not really sure that I had realized that. I use Twitter a little bit for personal stuff, and I volunteer with an organization that I help out with their Twitter. But it's been lately that I'm trying to follow more people on there. I'm taking some of my LinkedIn content, posting it over there. And I haven't done a whole lot. I've only been doing it for like a couple weeks, but it's been really interesting to see some of the conversations there and some of the things that people are talking about. I mean, no different than LinkedIn, really, but it's just really interesting to see like what's really important in the podcasting space right now, and the fact that I'm able to be on the ground floor in some of those conversations, even if it's just a fly on the wall.
Yeah. Well, you're the expert now. You should be coming in with those hot tips. I have not ventured into I have Twitter. That's about it. I can't, for me.
Come play with us.
The problem with Twitter for me, and I don't know if this is true for other people, it's just so fast. I can't keep up. Like everything just like, I refresh the window and everything is different. And you're like, oh no, did I miss something?
Biggest tip, TweetDeck.
Okay. And then follow hashtags.
TweetDeck is huge. Yes, follow hashtags. I'm actually creating a list of just the podcasting community. So it's some people I follow, some people that I'm not necessarily going to follow, but I want to know what you say. And it helps me kind of curate everything because, you know, like I've said a couple times now, like I'm a bona fide geek. I'm a video gamer, that kind of thing. So it's a way for me to kind of keep my geek stuff and my podcasting stuff separate. But still be involved in some of those conversations and see them all in one place. And it tends not to move quite as fast.
Yeah, because you're curating it a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my list just keeps getting longer and longer. And as my listeners know, like I do this all myself. So it's just like trying to find what's the most important and how do I get these stories to the ears that need to hear it. You know, all along my mission has been that the right person hears the story that they needed to hear that day. So someone listening now that is going into college or you know, trying to find their way, maybe your story of kind of listening to that instructor and jumping in the other direction because innately you were good at it and they saw that in you, maybe that's going to inspire them to do something or take a leap, right? I mean, you leaped into podcasting too.
Absolutely.
But it's a product of doing the web development. Like you had to get into this job. And then maybe when Kevin asked you that, you could have said no.
Right. And I'm so glad I said yes. And, you know, I mean, even saying yes to Wayne was a shift. You know, I mean, like I said, like I now feel like I've taken ownership of, you know, my place in the podcasting community, and, you know, hearing people call me a podcasting expert is wild. I'm not sure I will ever get over that. But, you know, when I've been on some other podcasts and I've said something about, you know, oh yeah, well, I've been in the industry 6 years and I cannot remember who it was off the top of my head right now, but somebody was like, oh my gosh, you're an OG. And I was like, nope, it was 2016, not, you know. And, but it's really wild to think of myself that way, you know, full disclosure, like I'm 30, like I still have imposter syndrome all the time. I feel like I haven't like made my place in the world yet.
I'm in my 40s and I haven't either.
So I'm in good company, right? And I feel like I haven't done those steps yet. I haven't earned those titles yet. And even though, you know, I'm hearing from other people, like I have. And one of the things that I've been wrestling with and trying to tell myself a lot lately is I may not feel like an expert, but to somebody I am. And even if I may not necessarily want to call myself an expert because I don't feel like I've earned that title, it doesn't mean that the information that I have isn't valuable. So I think I heard this from Gary Vee. He said something about if you don't feel like you're an expert, call yourself an enthusiast. I'm a podcast enthusiast. I'll take that title all day long because I don't necessarily need the credibility for that.
Well, and I think that's a good quality to have, to not necessarily, I mean, to have a little bit of that doubt, right? Because it's going to continue pushing you to learn more and to get better and to still look up to other people and to not feel like your way is the only way.
Yeah, it's very humbling.
You know, we've learned from each other. Like there are things that I love to do that maybe you would like never do with your podcast, right? Or right. We have this argument. Not an argument. We have this conversation about filler words, right? And that's a very particular thing. Some podcasters hate them. Some podcasters don't care.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm definitely of the don't care camp. But as we've already discussed, like, I don't have time.
Right.
Like,
but if you had time, you wouldn't.
Maybe if I had time, I would. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, it's too much. I can't do it.
I think that's what's nice, and we've tried, I don't know that we're successful yet, but we've tried to kind of curate a group of podcasters on LinkedIn where we try to learn from each other, and it's hard. You're in a different space than me, right? So you're in more of a business-to-business type podcasting space. So some of the things that you do are not necessarily what I would do with my particular show. But I can still learn from the things that you're doing or when we share the mistakes that we made or, you know, so I love that the community of podcasters is probably the most collaborative of like professionals.
Yeah, I've noticed that a lot too. Coming from the web development side, sometimes it can be really hard. Just some developers are really harsh. If you don't know something, like it's like a, oh my God, you're so stupid. How do you not know that? Like, I hate that. I hate that mentality.
That sounds terrible.
It is terrible. And especially as a woman, like that just, yeah. Anyway, so, but you're right. Like the podcasting community, especially the last 6 months, like I've seen people, you know, they just want to help out. They want to give advice and give tips and talk about podcasts that they love. That's something I've really enjoyed too. And I'm a huge book reader too. So I'm used to that from a book perspective of, you know, oh, have you read this book yet? And here's these other five that are on my 5-star reads. And seeing that within the podcast community too, it's been really fun. I know Good Pods has been a hot topic here, you know, lately about they're trying to help people discover those other podcasts. You know, if I follow you, Matt, on Good Pods, and I see that you listen to My Favorite Murder, well, now I know which podcast episode you listen to. And if you rated it a 5-star, then I know, oh, this is a really good episode. I'm going to go listen to it because my friend Matt really liked it. So I'll probably like it too.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yeah, you know what I'm finding now is that, two things. I'm finding I don't have enough time to listen to all the podcasts that I want to listen to.
Amen.
But also, and maybe you feel the same way now that you are more aware of your influence in the podcasting space, do you find yourself listening to podcasts differently than you used to?
There are times that I do. I think it depends for me. I usually am listening to podcasts while I'm doing like administrative kind of stuff. And so, you know, one of my favorite podcasts is What's Good Games. I'm a huge video game nerd. And so when I'm listening to that one, I don't necessarily listen as intently as far as for filler words or things of that nature. But there are other podcasts. You and I had a conversation about microphones several weeks ago. And afterward, I was like, wait, I know that this podcaster uses a Shure mic. Like, I need to hear and see, you know, how does it sound? What does it sound like? What are the things that shouldn't be there or should? And so there have definitely been times that I have to like stop and re-listen to something in that mindset. But thankfully, I am able to still enjoy the medium as just a listener too.
Yeah. Do you think it makes you a better co-host? Do you think there's any podcasts that you listen to that you try to emulate or?
I don't know that there's ones in particular that I try to emulate. I do know that in general, I do listen to a lot of shows that have multiple hosts on them. Usually it's multiple hosts instead of like a person and a guest. So there are certain things that when I started as a co-host, it was like, okay, an intro is really important and a good outro is really important. And I'm not great at extemporaneous speaking, despite what this podcast may sound like, right? So when we were doing the intros, and especially still now, I'm almost at a point that I've memorized it, but I wrote myself a script and said, okay, I need to hit this point, this point, and this point. I'm just going to write myself a script and go. That was one of the things that I definitely, you know, took from so many other podcasts that I listened to, was having this thing that you say every time. And it's something that you almost expect every time. And one of the things that I had to get coaching from Wayne on pretty early was I speak too fast, especially if I have a script. You know, we would record an episode, and at the end he goes, okay, kid, I need you to like take your speedometer and dial it down. And part of it was just, it's a script, and as you get going, you're going to speed up a little bit more. And so the feedback that he gave to me, and I'll give to your listeners too, if they're thinking about starting a podcast and they also struggle with that, write in your breath sounds, put them in all caps. If you look at my script, I say, you know, welcome to the long distance work life, breathe. You know, just,
have you said it yet?
No. That one I've figured out. I did do drama club a long time ago, so I know if it's in parentheses, I'm not reading it. And so thankfully that has not happened yet. But having those breath sounds, it gave me just enough of, okay, I need to pause for a second. And it helped me to slow down a lot. And I'm still learning a lot about co-hosting. One of the other things I learned pretty early on was something called double barrel questions. If you listen to early episodes, I do that to Wayne all the time. And so a double barrel question is, where did you come from and how did that impact you? I've asked you two questions at the same time, and really I should have just focused on one, because what ends up happening is that guest or that other person that you're talking to, they'll answer one of the questions and they might hit the other one, but they may forget it entirely. They're really just going to focus on one question. And once I learned about that concept, it's like, oh no, like I need to fix how I'm doing things. So I'm still definitely learning a lot of things as a co-host as well, and learning how to not be so nervous when I'm bantering with Wayne, and also even learning how to do guest spots. This is only the third one I've ever done. And that's been really interesting too, because, you know, some podcasts you come in and you don't know what the questions are, and some podcasts you do. And figuring out the differences and how other shows do things has also been really enlightening.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. Just so everyone knows here, we don't have questions. So I had questions for my first two episodes. And what I found actually, and that's something that I learned from listening to others and kind of listening to myself back, is that when I had questions, I wasn't actually listening to what the guest was saying. Right. And so I was just waiting for the next pause to ask the next question, which really doesn't give an authentic conversation. And my goal here is to really try to make the conversation as candid as possible. So, you know, whoever's listening, we come in with, what'd you write, like two sentences for me that we were going to talk about today. And that's what I love about these conversations, is because sometimes they go in directions that we're not quite sure that they were going to go there in the first place. And I'm okay with that. But that's the difference, I think, between something like the Life Shift podcast and something like the ones that you work on for an organization that needs to have a little bit more structure. Although I will say the one that you are on feels very conversational. So you guys are doing a good job.
Yeah, we definitely do try to do that. And I think it's gotten more conversational as we go along. One of the things, you know, like I said, I'm not a remote work expert, but because of doing this podcast, I've done a lot of research about that subject and learned about a lot of things that I didn't know before. And it's really helped me to come into the podcast with specific questions or little tidbits about the conversation that we're talking about, because, okay, I may not know the answer to the main question, but, oh, hey, I saw this study that, you know, Harvard Business Review did about this particular thing that we're talking about. And I wouldn't have been able to do that back in March, but I can do that now. And I think that's also helped a lot. And I have definitely noticed that some of the beginning episodes, it's really just me asking Wayne questions and getting the answer and then asking another one. And now I've been able to add some follow-up questions. And, you know, like you, there were episodes in the very beginning that I'm trying to hit these specific points. And sometimes I tried to force a point in when it didn't really make sense. And later I'm like, oh my gosh, why did I do that? Like, that was so silly. So we're getting better all the time. And I think that that's true for everybody in this space. You're never going to be perfect.
And I think we said it before, the collaboration. I mean, even if you're a podcaster or you're looking to start a podcast, jump on LinkedIn and connect with people that are in the space. Sure, there are a lot of people going to tell you exactly what you should be doing, and they might be right or wrong, and you can take what you want, but there are a lot of people that are willing to answer questions. Like today, I asked a question about editing audio. You know, we both commented on the same person's post, but, you know, I don't necessarily know all the hotkeys when it comes to, I use Logic Pro for my audio editing, and I didn't know hotkeys. So I was like, what's the easiest way to do what you're saying? I already do half of it. I don't necessarily do that other part. And so, you know, it's just like simple things that people are willing to, and maybe they don't do that in the web development space, as you were saying. They're like, oh, you don't know how to do that? You should go back to school.
Yeah, it really depends. There's a name for it, and I can't think of what it is right now, where if you go on to like Stack Overflow and you ask a coding question because you just don't know the answer, the quickest way to get an answer is to go back into your question with a different account and answer wrong, because people are more likely to come in and correct you than they are to answer the question in the first place.
That's crazy. Yeah. No, this space is wonderful. And I love that we've made this connection. I do see you as a podcasting expert, and whether you want to take that or as an enthusiast or an influencer or whatever you want to title it, whatever's most comfortable for you. You are leading the way in what you're doing. You've probably learned a lot more than most of us have through the last 6 years of your podcasting journey. You said you still talk to Dr. Joe.
Yes.
Does he know that you've kind of shifted a little into this space?
He does. I actually gave a shout out to him in a LinkedIn post a couple months ago or so, partially because it was in his class that we started our LinkedIn profiles. It was an assignment that we had. And so, you know, I was that weird freshman kid that had a LinkedIn account. Like, that was unheard of. And I had tagged him in it, and he had sent me a message, and he was like, "Hey, like, you've had a really cool career." And, you know, it's weird for me to think of it that way, because, like, I work for a small business. And so compared to some of my other, you know, classmates that, you know, they went off to LA and now they're working on movie studios or something, like, it doesn't feel the same. But at the same time, it is important. And I know that he still teaches at Ball State, like I said, and works with senior classes right now, and actually asked me to come and speak about, you know, podcasting or communication in the workspace and why that's important. So I might be talking about the DISC model. We'll see. And I haven't officially said when I'm going to do that yet, but that's also been really interesting too. Just this idea of, oh my gosh, like, I also have wisdom that I can come in and teach people that were just like me.
Do you ever think back to that conversation? That conversation is kind of why you're in the podcasting space now?
I think about that conversation all the time. It was huge for me. You know, like I said, he had noticed something that I didn't notice in myself. I didn't realize that, like, I had a talent for any sort of tech-related stuff. And now, like, if you talk to my coworkers, they're like, duh. Yeah. like, I'm just, you know, I'm a techie. It's fine. And yeah, there's a bunch of stuff that I don't know and I don't claim to know, and that's okay. But, you know, like you said, I mean, that truly was a life shift for me. And I thank him for that all the time and credit him for getting me into that, because there are so many opportunities and so many experiences that I've had, including, you know, right now doing this with you, that I would not have had I not done that.
Yeah, it's so interesting how one conversation can change the trajectory. Because, I mean, say you had been sick that day and you didn't go in, or you didn't turn in that assignment, or, you know, whatever it was, or you just were sick doing it and you didn't do a great job, and then you didn't have that conversation, then you would have been in sound. Like, who knows where your life would be? And so I think it's what I love about the Life Shift podcast is, like, thinking about these little seemingly insignificant moments, right? That that conversation put you into web development, which put you into this job, which then introduced you to podcasting. And now people are coming to you for advice on podcasts. Like, that's so cool.
It's wild. And not just podcasts, but I'm having people come up to me, you know, and ask me about remote work. I had somebody send me a message last week and said, "Hey, like, I'm asking remote work experts these questions." And I was like, whoa, time out. Like, I'm specifically the amateur on our show, and connected her, you know, well, I had suggested that she talk to Wayne, and she said, "Oh, I already sent him questions. I'm asking you too."
Own it.
Okay. And so, you know, I sent my responses back yesterday, but that's also been wild, just this idea of, like, subject matter expert. And at what point do you really become that? Because I'm not sure there's really a level for it. And it's weird to think that I have that for either topic.
Nope, you do. Own it.
Thank you.
I like to end these conversations with a question, and I think yours is going to be a little bit different. I think what I'd like to ask you is, if there is another Marissa out there, maybe a Martha, maybe a Marcia, perhaps a Mariah or a Melissa, and they're thinking about going into a space that they know they're, you know, somewhat interested in, but they have this doubt in them because, you know, like you said, women in tech, or, you know, women in coding. What would you say to someone that's in that position right now, based on what you know of your journey?
I would essentially say that when the opportunity comes up, say yes. I think that's been the biggest lesson for me lately, you know, saying yes to web development, saying yes to going to Ball State, first of all, saying yes to web development, saying yes to editing podcasts, and now saying yes to co-hosting. It's been an incredible journey. And if I had said no, like, you and I would have never met. I would not have done the guesting that I've done in the last couple of months. I wouldn't have done the Twitter space that I did a couple months ago. Like, there are so many people and opportunities that I wouldn't have without it.
I love that advice. Something that I would add to it, and I've tried to practice more recently is if something scares you, that's probably the place where you should say yes. Like if it's like an opportunity that someone's giving to you and it, if you have fear that you're not going to do it perfectly or you're not going to, you know, do I know enough? Can I do it? It's yeah. probably a good idea to say yes.
Absolutely. I mean, like I said, Wayne asking me to do the co-hosting, I was terrified. I thought I was just going to totally beef it on the first episode. And I didn't. And here we are. You know, I guess if we've done 30 episodes, I've done 15 of them.
And no so, beef.
And no beefing, right? Or if there was, you didn't know.
Because you're the editor.
Thank God for editing, right? So it's been really incredible to do. And I can't imagine what things would have looked like if I hadn't said yes to that, even though it did scare me. And now seeing how much that it has really paid off. I'm definitely a very risk averse kind of person. I'm like, you know, oh, you want me to do what? Yeah, no. But I think if you have enough psychological safety and you have people around you that, you know, you can talk to about, you know, when things suck or whatever. In this case, you know, Wayne believed I could do it, so I did it.
And you did it well, and you didn't beef it.
Thank you. Not this time, anyway.
There's always a chance.
There's always a chance.
You didn't beef it on the light shift. Yeah. And so I don't need to edit that. I appreciate you sharing your story. I think it's so great to have these conversations about how, like, just one yes can change everything and it can lead you to something that you're super passionate about. It's clear that you love podcasting and you love the space. And I think that's inspiring in itself. You've helped me and you've helped this podcast just by answering some of my silly little questions or telling me what something sounds like so that I can tweak things. So I appreciate you and thank you for being a part of this.
No problem. Thank you so much. I've been so honored to even just be a small part in your journey. You know, asking me questions and us talking about all this. It's been really incredible to see over the last 6 months.
I appreciate that. And I appreciate all of you listening to the Life Shift podcast. If you are enjoying these episodes, I know people say it doesn't matter, but we love seeing those reviews. Marissa actually just wrote about reviews on LinkedIn and talking about how that gives us fuel to keep going. So if you are liking these episodes, I would appreciate 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, maybe a couple words about what you're enjoying about the show. And maybe it helps, maybe it doesn't. And if you're listening on Spotify, you're able to rate there as well. Just no reviews just yet. So we will be back next week with a brand new episode of the Life Shift podcast. For more information, please visit www.thelifeshiftpodcast.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.